Hi, my name is Sarah Brainerd. I am so excited to be sharing with all of you today to give you guys a little bit of information about me. I am a year three student on the Leadership Training School with the River Church. I have been living in Durango for 5 years. I moved from the Denver area. And I've been helping out with the youth ministry in different forms for about 4 years, and I'm actually taking over in July, which is really exciting. And I'm super excited about it. But what I'm even more excited about is sharing with all of you today a message that I feel like the Lord put on my heart for all of us as a River Church family to hear. And so we are all going to go on a journey together and allow Jesus to teach us about kingdom community, about biblical community. And it is going to be really fun and exciting. So let's dive in. I want to start with reminding everyone of the fact that God has created us to live in community. And so we're going to go back and we're going to think about when it was just God, when there was no heavens, no earth, there is nothing. God lived in community because we believe in a triune God. So he lived in community with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he is a part of the ultimate community. And then he created man. And he created the heavens and the earth, and he created Adam. And he looked at Adam and he said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. And so then he created Eve. He created them to be in community. And then he says to go and be fruitful and multiply. So it's fully God's intention for us to live in community. But we are going to look at Jesus and his characteristics of him that he brings into his community with the disciples and the people around him. And we're going to look at how we can implement that into our own lives and in our own communities to really be diving into biblical kingdom community. Awesome. Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's get into it. Jesus exemplifies community in his ministry. It is essential to his ministry. It was essential to his years, his 3 years that he was within ministry. And he brings us this beautiful picture of kingdom community. And I'm sure you guys hear that term here a lot. What is kingdom community? And it's a term you hear a lot because it's one of our values at the River Church to bring kingdom community where we live, work, and play. And so it's a term you hear a lot, but this idea of kingdom community is one I want to dive into of biblical community. And so throughout my preparation and prayer and just asking God to speak about what he wanted me to speak on, I believe that there were 6 key aspects of biblical kingdom community that are exemplified in Jesus' ministry, and that's what we're going to be diving into today. And it's going to be an adventure, but I'm excited for us to go on it together. And I want to start with the foundation of my message, just a reminder of the fact that as Christians, we are disciples of Christ. And to be a disciple of Christ is to be somebody who believes in Jesus and who believes in his ideals and principles, but takes it a step further and tries to enact that in their own lives, to live their lives Christ-like. So we are all trying as Christians to be Christ-like. And that is the foundation of our conversation today. Because we are looking at Jesus and his community and how we can create that kingdom community in our own lives. And the first aspect of community that Jesus exemplifies that we're going to be talking about is intentionality. Oh my gosh, is he so intentional in his ministry and in his life, in his words, in what he says. But when you go through the Gospels and you really dive in, you will be overwhelmed with how intentional he is, specifically with the people around him. He is constantly eating with the disciples. He's eating with many different people. He's sitting with them and talking to them, answering questions for them. and is there's not a single time throughout the Bible that Jesus isn't intentional in all that he does and in all that he says. And it is really beautiful, and one of my favorite examples of this is in Matthew 9, 10 through 13, and it says this. It says, "While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners.'" So not only was he intentional about eating with his disciples, but he was also intentional about who else he ate with. He was eating with the tax collectors and the sinners. And for Jesus, as a Jewish man, these people were unclean, and they would have made him unclean, being with him and eating with him. But Jesus cannot be unclean. And that is the beauty of it, is that he took that idea of these people aren't clean, and he said he was intentional about eating with them and sitting with them and allowing them to join into his community and learn more about his Father in heaven. And you guys, for us, this is hard. Intentionality can be very hard, especially in the time we're living in, when we live in this society, this world, where everything is very fast-paced, everything is go, 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 everything is nonstop. And we also have technology which consumes our attention a lot of the time. And so it can be very difficult in our lives to be intentional with the people around us. But as Christ followers, this is what we're called to. We're called to be intentional with our communities, and it is one of the fundamental aspects of kingdom community. And in that, in your intentionality, it breeds room for vulnerability, which is our second point that we are going to talk about, our second aspect of biblical kingdom community. It breeds room for vulnerability because you're being intentional with that person. You're sitting with them, you're eating with them, and there's room, there's space to be vulnerable. And I know that some of you right now might be cringing at the word vulnerability. And listen, I am right there with you. It is hard. It is not necessarily always fun to be vulnerable and to come and be honest about where you're at. And I'll tell you, 3 years ago, I would have had an anxiety attack with the thought of being vulnerable with somebody. But it is essential for kingdom community. And something that I always struggle with is this idea that vulnerability equates to weakness or to being a pansy or being too sensitive, because that was something that I grew up around, was that, you know, if you're vulnerable, if you're sensitive, it's weakness. But in all reality, we serve a king. Our Savior was one of the most vulnerable people in history. He was raw and real and vulnerable with all of the people around him, and it created this kingdom community that we're talking about. And you can see this in one of the most just emotional scenes in the Bible, and it's right before Jesus is crucified, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples in Matthew 26, 36 through 39. It says, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And he took Peter and his two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, 'Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" You cannot look at the Bible and not see the raw vulnerability that Jesus shares with his disciples in that moment. You cannot read that and not go, "My Savior was vulnerable and honest and sensitive and real with the people around him. He led out of his vulnerability. He was on his knees, so close in front of his disciples in one of the most intimate moments that we have between God and Jesus. And he shared that with them. He was open with that with them. And here's the thing about vulnerability, friends. When you're honest, when you're real, when you share what's going on in your life, how you're feeling, something that you've done, maybe you messed up, when you do that with your community, with the people around you, you actually shine a light on the areas in your life that the enemy can use to manipulate, to kill, steal, and destroy. You shine a light, and he is not able to, because there's grace and there's hope and there's forgiveness. But when you're not being vulnerable, when you're not being honest, when you're not sharing what's going on in your life with the people around you, there is darkness over this area, and the enemy can come in and manipulate you in that. So there's actually a lot of safety and a lot of joy in being vulnerable, because everything has the light of the Lord on it. And it is hard and it is not always easy, but it is what we are called to do, and there is safety, and trust me, there is joy in it. And oh, you guys, there's so much relief. It feels like a weight is lifted off of your shoulders. Not only that, but vulnerability builds room for trust. And trust is one of the most important things to have when you're in a community. And when you have that trust, you are able to have people in your community challenge you. And that's the third aspect of community we're going to be talking about. So we have vulnerability, we have intentionality, we have vulnerability, and now we are looking at the concept of being able to challenge one another in a community, in a biblical kingdom community. And, you know, kind of like vulnerability, some of you might be like, I don't really like being challenged. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, but it is actually like vulnerability. It also breeds safety. And Jesus exemplifies this so well in his ministry. He is a teacher. He is a rabbi. He spent all of his ministry challenging people, pushing the norm, pushing what was told was, this is how it is. This is the law. This is how you get to heaven. This is what you're supposed to do. He pushed and he challenged these concepts. And he was constantly challenging his disciples and challenging the people around him to a higher level of righteousness, to a higher level and a higher standard in their lives. And that's what he came to do. He came to change. He came to push the envelope. And he does it so well, and there's so many examples, and one of the biggest one is probably the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm not going to read it all because it's about 2 chapters long. But Jesus challenges the people around him on things like the fulfillment of the law, which was so important to them. Murder, adultery, divorce, revenge, loving your enemies, generosity, and so much more. And he challenges them, and he pokes them, and he pushes the envelope. And we are called to do that too. And this is where Proverbs 27:17 kind of comes into play. As you all know, or if you don't, you will when I start to say it, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This is where this comes into play. We are called in a biblical kingdom community to challenge each other, to live to the highest standard, to live to a biblical Christ standard, and to live a more righteous life. And when this is done well, because it can come across as judgment, or it can come across as this attitude of, my sin is not as bad as your sin. But listen, people, we are all sinners. We are all sinners, and we all make mistakes, and none of our sin is worse than any other sin. And when we are in a community that is intentional and vulnerable and with room to challenge one another, there's so much space for love and for growth. And what we're doing when we're challenging each other in a biblical kingdom community is we're saying, hey, I see the God in you. I see the aspects of God that He has put in you because we are all created in His image. And I want to push you to live out of that person, to live out of your original design, to live to this higher standard. We can't do it on our own. We're not made that way. And so challenging one another and being willing to be challenged is a key principle that Jesus demonstrates throughout all of His ministry and can actually be very, very safe and very comforting. I have an incredible community, and it is very safe for me to know that if I am not living out of who I know myself to be, or out of who God has created me to be, they will come and they'll gently and kindly and with Christ in their heart and Christ at the center, come and help me and challenge me and push me to be the person they know me to be. And it is comforting and it is safe, you guys. It when done with Christ at the center. All right, we got intentionality, we got vulnerability, we got challenging each other. And the fourth point, the fourth aspect of a kingdom community, a biblical community, is being uplifting and grace-giving. And oh, you guys, we serve a Savior who is the forgiver, the ultimate grace-giver. He is so good. He came and He sacrificed Himself on the cross to save us from our sins. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us life. And we are called to do that with one another. We cannot forgive each other's sins, but we can forgive the wrong done against us to from another person. And we can give grace and we can be uplifting. And that is a call on our lives within kingdom community from Christ. And it is incredible and something that you have to do when you come humbly. You have to come humbly to your friends, to your community, and recognize I am a sinner just like you. The only person on earth who wasn't a sinner was Jesus. We are all sinners. And so in this moment, I'm going to choose to be uplifting and I'm going to choose to give grace because I know that I'm a sinner too. And we are all sinners. And Jesus does this so beautifully. And I want to take us to John 8. We're going to go 4 through 11. And it says this. It says, and Jesus said, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses commands us to stone such woman. Now what do you say? And they're trying to trap Him. They're trying to manipulate Him into saying something so they can arrest Him. And Jesus in this moment is squatting down and He's drawing in sand very nonchalantly. And we go back into verse 7 and it says, when they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, let anyone who is without sin be the first to throw the stone. And He sits back down in the dirt or squats back down in the dirt and is drawing in the dirt again. And slowly in groups or one by one, the people start to leave because they are all sinners too. And they had no right to be there. And then we go back in verse 10 through 11 and it says, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no, sir. She said, then neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go and leave your life of sin. Jesus gave her life and He gave her forgiveness and He gave her grace. And we are called, and He was uplifting to her. And we are called to do that in our communities as well. We need to be quick to give grace. We need to be quick to be uplifting. We need to look at Jesus, who is the person that we all follow, and say and look at His example. He is the only person who has the right to say that we don't deserve grace or we don't deserve forgiveness because He was the only perfect person and He didn't. So we can't either. We need to be quick to give grace and to be uplifting. We're going through and we have a vulnerable community. We have an intentional community, challenging community, a community that is uplifting and grace-giving. And the second to last aspect that I want us to look at and to talk about is how Jesus always left room for one more. Jesus was always inviting more people into his community. And as I've said with every other point, we need to look at Jesus, at our Savior, and take that and apply it to our own lives. Jesus had tons and tons of people following him. He had his smaller community of the disciples and the women that Jesus Rachel talked about last week, but he also had a wider community, and everyone was welcome and everyone could join. And I love that Rachel used the scripture of the person coming up to Jesus and telling him that his mother and his brothers were outside, because I had already planned on using that, and I was like, oh, that's cool. But anyway, just as a reminder, it says in Matthew 12:46-48, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him, and someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they want to speak to you. And Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mothers and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and my mother and my sister. And I bring that up, I point out that scripture because it is a beautiful picture of the welcoming and open community that Jesus has created around him. He says, anyone who does the will of the Father is welcome in his community. And I'm going to be honest, it is not realistic for you to look around at everyone you know and say, you're all going to be a part of my community. It's not realistic because you can't be intentional with, you know, hundreds of people. You can't be vulnerable with hundreds of people. You can't challenge hundreds of people. You can't do all these things with hundreds of people. But what you can do is you can have a community, a kingdom community, and you can always leave room for more. Always leave a seat open at the table for more people. And the beauty in this is, as I mentioned earlier, God has created us all in his image with different aspects of him. And when you leave room for more people to join in your community, to join in your lives, you get to see different aspects of God that highlighted in different people. And it is beautiful and it is incredible. And you see more of God, you learn more about his character and who he is. And guys, that's what we're striving for. That's what we want. We want to see God in new and incredible ways. And when you leave a seat open at the table, when you leave room for more people to join in your community, when you're welcome and opening, you get to see more of who God is. And it is really, really incredible. And we come now to our final point. It is the last point. It is also the first point. It is also most important point in aspect of a biblical kingdom community, and that is that it is centered around Christ. You cannot have a biblical kingdom community that is not centered around Christ. And it needs to be centered around Christ individually, every individual person, as well as your community. It defines us from other communities. Jesus was constantly going to his Father. He was constantly in prayer and in communication with his Father in heaven. And to have a biblical kingdom community, it needs to be Christ-centered. All right, so just to wrap it up, you guys, in order to have a solid, Christ-centered, biblical kingdom community, it needs to be intentional, it needs to be vulnerable, it needs to be challenging. We need to be open to challenge one another. It needs to be uplifting and grace-giving. And you need to leave room for more people to join. You need to be welcoming to other people. And it needs to be centered on Christ. And before we end, I want to leave you with two things. The first is this: isolation is the opposite of community, And we are not made to live in isolation. And trust me, you guys, I have been there. I have thought I could do it. I have had something to prove to everyone around me that I can do it by myself. And I can't, and we're not meant to, and neither can you. And I'll even go a step further to say that you're not even necessarily meant to isolate within just your family. We are meant to live in community with the people around us. And in isolation, there's so much room for the enemy to come in and to manipulate and to destroy the good that God has planned, to manipulate our thoughts and our minds and our wills when you're not living in community, when you're in isolation. And finally, what I want to leave you with is a question. My question is this: are you seeking and living out or living out a biblical kingdom community? Are you seeking this? Is this something that you are looking for? And if you don't feel like you have a good kingdom community, a good biblical Christ-centered community around you, are you actively looking for it? Are you actively seeking it? Or are you waiting for it to find you? I don't know. But we need to be in this place of seeking this, because this is essential. And some of you might be thinking that you have a good community, you have a bunch of friends, you guys hang out all the time, but is it demonstrating the biblical community characteristics that Jesus shows us and highlights for us in his relationships? Is it intentional? Is it vulnerable? Is it challenging? Is it uplifting and encouraging and grace-giving? Is there an open seat at the table? And most importantly, is it centered on Christ? Thank you guys so much. Have a nice day.
All right. Well, hey, how cool is it to know that we have opportunity to be a part of a Kingdom of Heaven community? Thank you, Sarah, for sharing today. I have been inspired by your message, and I just hope that you all have been inspired by what you heard today from Sarah. I look forward to hearing from her in the future many, many more times. And man, what a great message that she brings to our young people every week. Anyway, guys, if you would like prayer for anything and you are needing just somebody to pray with, to reach out to you, just comment below and let us know how we can be praying for you. If you want to give your life to the Lord today and start that relationship with him, just let us know by saying, "I want to know Jesus," in the comment boxes below. And we want to reach out to you to pray with you. With that, guys, thank you so much for joining us on TRC Online today. I hope that you have an amazing rest of your Sunday, and we will see you here, right here at 9 a.m. next Sunday for another amazing message, as we are going to be live streaming the graduation of our Leadership Training School students. With that, guys, take care and have an amazing rest of your day.